It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. At 1:45, where are we at in society? Mike Tomlin has apparently been to as many grocery stores as he has Super Bowls in the last decade, which is not very many. At 1:30, Simone Biles voluntarily bows out of the Olympics during today's women's team finals. We're going to have to discuss that one some more. And in mere minutes, it's our weekly chat with the great Jeff Ward. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. And if you are just jumping in, the official update today is that the SEC now has something to consider on Thursday. They have a meeting set with their presidents and their chancellors. They will discuss expansion because two universities have asked for membership. It happened today. Texas and Oklahoma have officially requested membership into the SEC beginning, don't laugh, July 1st, 2025. Somehow I don't think it's going to quite get that far. The Vaquero's Cafe Cantina Hotline brings us all the guests. Even though he's sitting right here with us, we give Vaquero's their love, and we always give him the love. It's Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com, part of the Hot Pie Media Group, live each weekday now, and he is at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. How are you, sir?
Hey there.
Good. Have we recovered from the Vegas trip? How long does it take you to get from Vegas?
It was like 3 months ago, man.
It was a couple weeks ago.
I've been to rehab and back already by that time.
Are you fine?
Everything's fine.
You're good now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, when you think...
Yeah.
Well, forget about that.
Yeah.
When you saw the headline or heard the story, give me your thoughts on it. You are a Longhorn of a certain age. You played for this team.
Yep.
Your era for me would be lunacy.
Yeah.
For a Longhorn to think about going to the SEC. What did you make of it when you heard?
A lot of that stuff. It's been a long time. Not the SEC, but this realignment's a long time coming. So I don't think anybody, even myself included, is all that surprised. I am a little bit surprised that it's the SEC. It's not really what I saw coming, and in fact, I would make an argument it's not a good fit. But I'm not surprised. To answer your first question, not surprised at all. They got the usefulness out of the Big 12 that they wanted. They create, every ego crack that somebody wants to make about Texas applies. They get whatever they want, whenever they want. Everyone plays by their rules. You live in their world, and they created the Big 12 just for themselves, and they got out of it all they wanted. So that doesn't surprise me at all. In fact, at some level, nostalgia's out, sort of happy to see it work out that way. They chase the money first. I'm not sure in the end it's going to be the best fit. That said, it may not matter because the next question is how many years removed are we from 40 teams? Done. That's it.
Right, the elite conference level.
I think this is going to create it. I think you're going to end up, the question is it 2 years from now? Is it 5 years from now? You're going to end up with West, Midwest, Southeast, East, done.
You're not the first person I've heard over the years say you don't think it's a fit. Tell me why today you think it might not be a fit.
Yeah, a few reasons. One, selfishly, as an alum, I get that the football is the best. The football is the best in the SEC because there's a commitment to football in the SEC, and the best high school football is played in the South. Period. End of story. In fact, you can make a pretty good argument. High school football in the rest of the country is probably shrinking. So it is the hotbed of the best players. Got it. I'd much rather make trips to the West Coast than I would most of the places in the SEC. I get that the football is better. In terms of traveling and having a good time, it's not so great. It's not a good fit because, one, they're not like-minded schools academically. That may not matter at all, and I know to a football fan, you don't like hearing this stuff, you think it's sort of nerdy, but to someone who went to school at Texas, it's not a really good fit academically. Those other schools, you're going to say this is typical UT ego talking here, and maybe it is. It's not a great fit academically, and it's not a great fit culturally, and I think that affects recruiting. Because I know from taking players out, this is years ago, granted, I know from hosting players myself, one of the things used against Texas was Oh, I see. You're going to go to big liberal Austin, big giant campus with a bunch of wealthy kids that go to bars and have boats and things like that. Culturally, it is the life that we love in Austin is oftentimes sold against the University of Texas. You've got largely kids being recruited in the Southeast Conference by everybody around the country because the high school football is the best in the South. Poor Southern kids, it's going to be sold against UT. A small town kid coming from the deep South, this is not a great fit. High-tech Austin is not a great fit. Giant UT is not a great fit. Hiding someone in Alabama or hiding someone at LSU or hiding someone at College Station feels more like a fit. It's a cultural disconnect between Texas and these other schools. Am I going to say it's a huge effect? No, but I would say over time, the people that are now at Texas, many of whom never worked there, never went to school there, never coached there, it's one of the odd things that while you may love life here, it is sold against you when it comes to some poor kid from the deep South.
I think that
I know that's not going to be received well. I know people don't like to hear that stuff. I'm just telling you that it's part of the disconnect. It might be a problem.
I think there are kids.
But I've heard it before. I heard it back when I was playing.
Right.
I think that there are kids that are hidden here in Austin as well. Probably not to the degree that you are referencing, but it is still an interesting point. Now, I do wonder about the I do wonder about the education thing and how much it will mean in the next 4 to 5 years versus what it has meant up to this point because of how quickly the college sports landscape is changing. And not only will you see a more distinct separation between the Group of Five and the Power Five, or whatever the Power Five becomes, but also a clear-cut separation between the academic side of colleges versus the athletic side, many of which have separate entities in terms of the financial structures already.
Look, I'm owning, I think what you have to, whenever you look at college sports, and I've been on each side, I get it. There are fans of the sport who are no different than you'd be fans of the Steelers or the Cowboys. You're just fans of the program. You're fans of the football. There are people who have attachment to the campus. And if you have an attachment to the campus, it's more than just football. It's academics and football. It's all the stuff that goes with it. So I think to people who hear this conversation, hear what I'm saying just as a fan, they're going to say, screw that, man. The football's just better. Okay, you're right. But if there's more to it to someone than just the football, it's a little tough to take that they chase the money like this. Surprising, no. I think to a lot of alums, again, if they just want to have cocktail parties and watch great football, they're going to the right place. But I just think academically it doesn't add up. Does it matter anymore? Probably not. And if you wanted evidence that nothing but matters is the money, then this deal is it. Does it matter that, you know, the other schools have, you know, they all have low standards when it comes to letting a guy in on a football scholarship. There are virtually no standards. They're incredibly low. But selling a guy on who can't qualify academically anyway. Okay, it's a sad, I don't want to be a bleeding heart here, but it's a sad story. You pull the curtain back on how many poor kids who do not belong in college, it is not an attractive picture. You're basically holding a kid's hand to get him through because he doesn't belong there. That problem's, I think, going to be even bigger now when you're comparing yourself, trying to find a class for some kid from Podunk, Louisiana, coming to UT, finding him a class to hide him versus finding a class to hide him at Clemson.
Do you think there are any other...
I think it's easier. I mean, I'm sure that offends somebody, but I don't care.
Do you think there's any other school in the SEC that would deal with it the way you're talking about Texas will deal with it? With Austin and everything.
I mean, think about the cultural difference.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a cultural difference between A&M and Texas, and they're both great schools.
And that's what I've heard. This is what we've talked about for years.
Yeah, there's a very cultural difference, and the cultural difference does matter when some kid who's completely out of his element... And most kids are. They're completely out of their element. They step on a 60,000-student campus and look around their skyscrapers of Facebook and Google. It's different than finding your way to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and hiding, you know, on the south side of campus, and that's it, man. It's just a big cultural difference that I think coaches recruiting are going to battle against. How big of a battle it is, I don't know. But I used to hear it.
What about the Oklahoma fit for you? How does that How does it is it a big contrast?
No.
Versus Texas?
No.
I mean, or is it the same kind of issue?
Anybody can make the argument that Oklahoma fits in the SEC better than Texas.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, football-wise alone. You know, how many games would Texas have won a year ago in the SEC?
Oof.
4 or 5. It'd be a beatdown for a few years. You know, you might have those right. little peaks and valleys, because that's what you're going to have in the SEC, these peaks and valleys, until you're able to stockpile like LSU and Alabama. Yeah, but Oklahoma, I mean, again, it's there's a huge cultural difference between a campus in Norman and a campus in Austin.
Right. No, there's no doubt.
I mean, it's just it's light years difference.
What do you think that room in College Station, the Board of Regents meeting when they have it this week, what do you think that room is going to do when it comes to vote time? When it comes right down to it and they have to say yay or nay, what do you think they're going to do?
I think they're saying nay.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I think they have to. I think you'd be awfully unpopular if you said yay.
Because you have to stand up for told
absolutely.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Look, they have Aggie jokes aside, they have every right to have a little bit of bitterness. You know, I mean, I don't blame anybody in college football. I go back a few years ago when, Tommy Tuberville was coaching at Texas Tech? And Tommy Tuberville's a moron. Okay, he's an absolute full-on moron who's now a United States Senator, and he's even more of a moron now. But he said something early on in his time at Tech, which made me laugh, and I thought, wow, he hasn't caught on yet. You're supposed to just shut up and go along. And he said something like, I don't get it. Does Texas get everything they want? Something to that effect. And I thought, well, yeah, buddy, that's exactly the way it works.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, you just discovered that, and I cracked up because I thought, no, that dude is right. He's coming from somewhere else where there probably is some sort of equal footing, not when Texas is concerned. So I don't blame anybody at all for being bitter that Texas just sort of runs around and does whatever it wants because it sells everything it wants, and they feel like they get left behind. So I don't blame them. That said, first of all, for A&M, one, I thought you looked kind of whiny this week. You know, shut up. Shut up. Just shut up. You're not happy about it. Fair enough. You don't want them around. Fair enough. Don't go public with that. It just looked like you're a baby.
Right.
Bad look. Yeah. Bad look. I think the A&M president got a hold of it and tried to give a much more diplomatic response, maybe sensing that somebody said, hey, you know, we look like crybabies right now.
Right.
We're all butthurt about this. Yeah. I mean, shut up, everybody. So I think they vote against. I don't think it's going to matter.
Be a 13-1, probably.
And I wouldn't hold it against them if they did vote against. Shouldn't they vote against? What's changed since the last time they were screwed around?
I think that the overall attitude amongst leadership changed this last weekend, and it was a foreseeable pivot, too. I think the SEC probably said, look, we understand why you guys are frustrated, but it's time for you to be a member of this conference and embrace this with open arms, because otherwise it's only going to continue to look bad for you because everybody else is going to vote this thing in.
Yeah, so, I mean...
Right.
So if I'm A&M, I need to look like I'm at least taken up for what I had a problem with before. I think I just be consistent and say, look, I didn't like it. I wanted away from them before, and I haven't changed my mind. I want away from them now, even though I'm going to get steamrolled on this, and it's not going to matter.
How do you think Texas?
Do you agree with that?
I think in the end, everybody's going to need to be able to live with 13-1 if that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I think
it'll be, I mean, maybe they can talk to somebody, hey, look, will you guys vote with this just to make it look?
I think it could be equal parts 13-1 and let's play ball.
Yeah.
I think eventually they're going to say, look, we're not leaving a conference or anything. We're not that crazy.
Yeah.
We want to, we'll play you again if the SEC says we have to play you again. Sure. But I think they'll probably stand at 13-1. Even if they had to be 13-1, I think that's where they'll stand.
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think anyone... The whole thing reeks of money anyway. That's all it is. And everyone's going to make more money, and A&M's going to make more money. And, you know, in the end, it's sort of like having Tiger Woods in your golf tournament. And you may not, my tee time's moved to 4 a.m. because of him. Well, but still going to make more money. So I think in the end, they're going to count the money the same, and they're going to be mostly pleased with it because this day was coming anyway. That next shakeout is coming sooner or later. So you're all going to be chasing the next giant TV contract. But I think in terms of ethics and campus morale, I'd still say no.
Okay.
Do you think Texas will operate comfortably as just another team in their conference?
They're not going to have much of a choice. You mean football-wise or attitude-wise or commercially?
I think the whole shebang. I mean, they'll be given respect because of the Texas brand, but they're not going to be able to pull power plays like they have for so long now in the Big 12 and then also back in the Southwest Conference days.
Right, right. That's true. I mean, there's the other interesting part of this story is how things have changed politically. Because when this has been done before, and I think that's kind of an interesting backstory to this, not to get away from what the first part of the question was, but when these moves were blocked or supported in the past, there was this roundup of political support. This time, either they did this amazingly quietly to get the political support, or they seized the moment that Greg Abbott wasn't paying attention. And I think he's not paying attention. I think he's like, what? Huh? I got to get on Fox News right now because I need a MAGA hat and I got to go win again and I want to be president. So what? Don't bother me with this football stuff. I think the timing of this, even though Abbott's a UT guy as opposed to in the past when Ann Richards was around and people like that that blocked it, I just think it's kind of funny that even though the legislature or legislators, especially out of West Texas, who are saying we're screwed, man, and they're right, they're screwed. You're nothing now. You're virtually nothing now. And they were trying to get Abbott's attention and couldn't get it. I think that's kind of funny.
Although Abbott going on the SEC network may help with that Republican primary in 2024.
I know. Don't think he won't be in a NASCAR race. Right. He'll have that MAGA hat on in a NASCAR race.
Exactly. All right.
He'll forget UT and start supporting like Ole Miss or something.
I'll be
Austin. I don't need that. That's a blue dot. I want the MAGA hats.
You got one more for him?
Yeah, one more, and this is actually going to be sports related.
All right. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out football wise. I don't know yet. I kind of think peaks and valleys, because I think the sales pitch is harder than people realize at Texas.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, from my 9-year experience, it forces you to do one of two things. It either forces you to get better, or it forces you to the basement.
Yeah, or Arkansas.
Average doesn't really exist
Arkansas,
in that conference.
Yeah. No, I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
There really is a have and have not line that you feel like you get to draw on every year. Are you up here with this group, or are you down here just getting stepped on over and over?
And you get your face kicked in, too.
Absolutely.
You get your face. You don't get one of those games that's 52-48. You just get drilled.
Yeah.
And it never gets. If you're not, you can't hide bad players in that league like you can in the Big 12. You can't hide not having any defense in that league like you can in the Big 12. That's where I think Oklahoma is going to be an interesting quick start. Is what can they transfer from lighting it up on the offensive side and being able to get away with no defense whatsoever,
right.
And all of a sudden you go to that league where you won't get the ball back.
Right.
You'll get beat 60-20.
You got to tackle folks. Yeah. There's no doubt.
You have to bring them to the ground in that league. You don't get to touch them in Tupelo over there. They don't play Tupelo in the SEC.
That is true.
What do you think about Simone Biles quitting on her team in the middle of the medal rounds in the name of mental health?
I'll finish with a light one for you.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You know, I hate the coverage of the Olympics, first of all. I feel like if you're not driving a minivan, it's not for you. Are there any men competing in the Olympic Games? All I see is girls in glitter and gymnastics.
Are there any men in sports?
Are there any men? So I haven't seen any coverage yet of the men's sports.
I saw some men swimming. I did
like,
see a
you
couple
saw,
men
like, 10
swimming.
10 seconds before they went to vignette about some guy who carried his family on his back across the tundra or something.
I hate the coverage.
I hate it.
There is a woman who was born as a man who's competing as a woman in powerlifting for New Zealand.
I'd rather watch that than ribbon dancing in gymnastics. Whatever stupid dance routine that is.
You're being set up, Jeff Ward. I'm just telling you right now.
Oh, yeah.
He is setting you up for something. I'm not sure what it is.
Don't play into that conspiracy theory. I'm not ever setting him up for anything, but now he thinks that because you keep feeding it.
I don't think I've ever stopped here without some way. We could be talking about the temperature and you'd end up in some transgendered issue. It circles its way back to transgendered every time I'm here.
That's the new rep.
Is that it? Is that what you guys do? All transgender talk all the time?
No, today we're trying to figure out why the most decorated gymnast in the history of the world
just stopped competing.
In the middle of the team competition for a medal.
Wow. Yeah, she didn't. If she'd have figured it out 3 months ago and said, I'm done,
the first headline was she had a mental issue. Did you see that?
The first thing I saw said medical, and then it maybe I misread though.
I thought it was mental.
Mental issue. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I think that means you're losing and just want to quit.
She just cracked up right in the middle of it.
I don't know if she cracked up. I think she decided I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, but we've got to call that for what it is, right? I know this is a red, white, and blue time, but
yeah.
One of our biggest, most, she's the most famous athlete there, right? Phelps is retired.
Oh, yeah, by
far. Is there
far.
Anybody bigger
but
than
she's
her?
She's the most marketable until today.
And then, wow.
Imagine her agent.
She is the most Wheaties.
Wait, can you give me yourself? I'm going to text her right now. You need to get back on that. Palm, right. What do they do? The
back on that floor exercise.
Palm horse right now. Now. Because they got Coca-Cola on the other line saying they're out.
And she'll still be marketable. She's still got a certain level of it.
If she follows Naomi Osaka's lead, she's about to get a Barbie doll, a Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover, and a Netflix docuseries.
Yeah, but there's shelf life. There's not much shelf life if you don't leave. I don't think this. I don't agree. I think the shelf life's now fairly short
because she's every 4 years.
Yeah, and it's
Osaka,
not that big.
Osaka's a continual sport.
Yeah, and it's a bigger sport year round. I mean, this is once every 4 years we pay attention only to stories. And if you're not a great story, I'm not talking about an athlete, I'm not talking about success. If you're not a great story, you're not going to be a story if you're out of the news. Now, she's going to cry and do a lot of talk shows, but I don't know if it sells product. So I have no idea.
Yeah, what a wild story.
I'd love
that
to say
is,
I
man.
Care more than I do.
No, we don't want you to do that.
I don't care.
I would love for you to just say what you said. I don't need you to say you care.
I like swimming and measurable sports. That's what I like. I don't care to see you cry in another interview after ribbon dancing.
I think this
or
is
skateboarding
one of,
or ballroom dancing or whatever else kind of freaking dance. Break dancing is there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Breakdancing is there now.
Parkour is an Olympic sport.
Why don't you just have a potter's wheel, too?
I think it just officially hit me why I've enjoyed these conversations with Jeff Ward so much, because he practices active apathy.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I love active apathy.
Well,
that's you got to try to not care sometimes, and you do a great job of
that.
Thank you.
I appreciate
find
that.
Out what
it
you care
so
about and what you don't.
Just stay in my lane. That's it.
That's why we can talk about these issues, Chad, because we genuinely don't care about most of them either.
That's correct.
That's why we can have adult conversations about it.
Exactly. And at the end, we
just figure
out.
You're a great talk show host when you say, I don't care pretty much the whole time. I don't care. What, huh?
It's been my opinion on the NBA for the last 5 years now, Jeff.
That is true. That is true as well.
I don't know. I mean, when is she going to tell us what the deal is?
I don't know. I think she kind of already has.
She did? I thought she just said, I'm good with it. I've been in the Olympics before.
She said the pressure was getting to me.
Yeah.
So I need to just take a step away.
I will care for a second. Let me pretend to care.
Okay, go ahead. Jeff Ward pretending to care.
I knew we could eventually poke him enough to get him to care.
Thank goodness I don't have a gymnast or a cheerleader in my family, so I haven't been through that. But there's something icky about that whole industry where you peak at like 19 or 15 or whatever. I mean, the fact that she says she's burned out and the pressure got to her makes total sense to me. This poor kid, young woman, has been stuck doing this stuff since she was 6, and it's been pretty overwhelming. And then the entire marketability of the Olympic Games has been dependent upon her.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it is. That's all NBC is selling.
And
like I said, there's no men competing. It's just her.
And if I'm not mistaken, she is one of the many, 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 many athletes that was a part of the Larry Nassar thing.
I think so, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. It's
know. Just that I just there's something in addition to that kind of monster.
Yeah.
There's just something icky about growing up in that industry at such a young age where I could see, you know, I mean, I hope the story out of this is, you know what, I burned out at 15.
Yeah.
My body's beaten down. And then all of a sudden I had to carry NBC's entire $2 billion package on my back, which is pretty much the way this has worked.
Yeah, that's a wild story. That's a good turn at the end. I like that.
Thank
though.
You. I cared. In the end, I cared. I'm going online right now to read all about it.
Look at you with your feelings. Jeff Ward. Check out jeffwardshow.com, at Jeff Ward Show on Twitter. It is live each weekday, and we get to talk to him on Tuesdays because we're lucky and so are y'all. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Ward, pretending and not pretending to care, all in one segment. That's what we bring you. Up next, back to that Simone Biles story. Apparently, she just stopped in Tokyo. We'll try to figure out why on the horn.
Shirts and Skins. Throw away the radio. Suitcase keeps you awake. Hide the telephone. Telephone. Telephone in case.
that I'll be waving my
hand. All right, no, this doesn't sound like it would make me break stuff. Who's this, Trey?
This is Our Lady Peace. I didn't realize it because they weren't in the Woodstock 99 documentary, but apparently they played at that festival.
Ah.
The reason why we're playing Woodstock 99 artists today is because I've got a new episode of Books on Pod out now. It is our Docs on Pod series, episode number 3 of our Docs on Pod series, with Garrett Price, who is the director of Woodstock 99, a UT alum, and a guy that I knew back in the day. Conversation's pretty good. The documentary is excellent. You can check out the former at booksonpod.com.
All right, hope you're having a great Tuesday. We are talking about, obviously, the Texas-Oklahoma move to the SEC. It's not there yet, but it is now official that Texas and Oklahoma want to move to the SEC. If you thought there was some other weird side story going on, are they ready to take a call from the West and use the... No. They have requested admittance into the SEC. The SEC presidents and chancellors have a meeting on Thursday where they'll discuss expansion. A&M's Board of Regents will meet again tomorrow at 4, and they will go over the same stuff they did yesterday. They'll just do it face-to-face. They were just gathering information yesterday, trying to figure out what their next move is going to be or how they will deal with all of this moving forward in the SEC. So that has all happened today. We'll keep talking about that with Bobby Burton of Inside Texas coming up at 2:05. Lots of good reaction coming in on the Specs text line, 337-3776 on this Simone Biles issue. Somebody texted, Simone Biles is the female Paul George of bubble sports. Okay, you just insulted Simone Biles about as much as you can. Let's not go that far.
Wow.
She is a world-class winner. Paul George isn't exactly that yet.
Yeah, she's won golds.
Lots of them.
She's just at an interesting point, I guess, with her career where this, I don't know if this is going to be the final run for her, but this is really supposed to be her coming out party in terms of her proving to the world why she is considered the best of all time.
Yeah, that's an interesting discussion among, I guess, gymnastics folks of what exactly is this. To me, she was already there. And the coming out party had already happened, but you're right. Maybe this is the moment of, okay, solidify that she is the goat of all goats in that world. This text says she's won 27 gold medals in the Olympics or World Championships since 2013, but I guess that doesn't earn her any benefit of the doubt. Oh, no, 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 we didn't say that. I didn't say she doesn't get any benefit of the doubt, but we have to call this for what it is. She admitted she quit. This is not a mystery at this point. They said, are you injured? And she said, no, just a little injury to my pride. She freaked out during competition and she stopped competing.
Yeah, you don't just quit what you're doing in the middle of it. At least that's what I was always raised to do or not do. Is if it's something that you no longer want to take part in, that's fine, but you still need to complete the task at hand. And she just quit on her team. I would not be accepting of this, and look, I understand the mental health element of it maybe complicates things a little bit, but really it doesn't for me. You can still address your own mental health issues while still following through and completing what it was there you were to do with your team, because you just let your teammates down there. And I know they can give her a pass and say, we completely understand, it's a lot of pressure and we just want her to be the happiest version of herself. But the bottom line is you just quit in the middle of the team competition to determine whether or not you get an Olympic medal.
The weird part of this for me, Trey, I keep coming back to one thing, the reps of it all. How many reps she's done over the years, how much work it takes to become what she's become. How would the muscle memory not take over on some level? Like, even if you're not in the best mental space, I get that. I'm not expecting you to be perfect all the time. I'm not expecting you to have the perfect mental state all the time. But the idea that something occurred to her in midair, they say like in the middle of the vault, she talked about something felt wrong. She lands, she goes and talks to somebody, goes away, comes back, and then just takes stuff off and she's done. It's like the muscle memory couldn't have pulled you through that. Somebody made a great point on the text line. They ended up with the silver. If she comes back and goes through the motions, they might get gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not advocating for going through the motions, but you know what I'm saying here.
I mean, part of sports and part of sports performance and championship level performance is resilience.
Yeah.
And even if you're going through a moment of self-doubt in that instance, there are still ways to overcome that or block it out enough to still complete the task at hand. And she did not do that. And look, should she be remembered for this for the rest of her life? Probably not. But in this moment, it's utterly puzzling because right. the Olympic athlete that we have heard more about heading into the Tokyo Games, and this was the case last year too, before the Games got nixed because of COVID, it was all about Simone Biles and the show that she was about to put on for the rest of the world. And sadly, that's not happening now.
Yeah, it's wow. And somebody's texting in a discussion. I think it's fair. Somebody's saying, imagine Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers doing something like this.
I mean, the fact that she did this in the middle of the team competition in the medal round is a big deal.
It's just, yeah, it is.
It's the problem for me is not Simone Biles in this moment necessarily. It's that it's becoming just more accepted in society that if something isn't right, something isn't going your way, it's okay to quit and go find a dark place to just go park yourself for a little bit until you're ready to deal with it once again.
But and then the other thing is, the Naomi Osaka thing did not start yesterday. Michael Phelps has not been focused on mental health for like 30 minutes. He's been focused on it for a while now. Simone Biles, I'm imagining...
See, I didn't even know the Michael Phelps thing.
Michael Phelps has been speaking out about mental health. He's involved in an app that is about trying to get you some mental help and trying to get therapy to people and things like that. He's dealt with that. They did a great documentary on the mental strain on Olympic athletes and what they go through and all that kind of stuff. And it was really interesting about how therapy can help them and the focus of you got to train for sometimes 0.5 seconds, you know, every 4 years. So they've gone through all that stuff. There's the idea that there was nothing around Simone Biles that could have gotten her prepared to go to Tokyo and perform. That amazes me. It amazes me that she and her team didn't have enough around them to figure it out. And yeah, that it's just like, again, if I'm going to consider her the GOAT of that world, that means she can deal with all of it. That means she can deal with every bit of press, every question, everything, and carry the event. And obviously, we're finding out she can't. Hopefully, she's going to be all right. Hopefully, she can compete. It'd be a hell of a comeback story if she's able to do it. But fair to point out, and she doesn't need to be eviscerated on social media or anything like that. But it is fair to point out, she did quit on the team. That sucks. Sucks for those other three competitors. But obviously, those other three competitors, they understand who Simone Biles is. They know they needed her to win it all, and they didn't quite do it. So it is what it is.
It's important in life, much less sports, to learn how to fight through adversity. And that's not to say you can't address whatever issues are going on, but there is a time and place for that. The time and place, when you're engaged in a team sport, I don't care if you are the last person off the bench or the star player, the time and place for you to quit on your team is not in the middle of a competition, period. It's just not. No, and again, I don't care if you are a bench warmer or the star player. My response is going to be the same. You've got to figure out a way to push through in that moment and deal with it an hour from now, whenever the competition is over with.
We talked about tennis earlier because it's a sport I grew up watching, and there's a lot of burnout in that sport. There's the Tracy Austin story back in the day, young success, but ultimately she burned out and stopped playing. Bjorn Borg went through some stuff. But to me, it's just all about, if you want to tell me you're burnt out and you want to stop, fine. But don't tell me at 2-all in the second set.
You can't do it on the biggest stage.
You got to finish any stage for me. But you got
any stage,
finish,
but especially the biggest
especially
stage.
Especially this. You've got to finish it. And look, she went in to talk about... she talked about, you know, sort of the danger element. She said it's so big, Olympic Games. You have to be there 100% or 120%. Oh, God, the over percentages. Or you're going to hurt yourself. Okay, on the face level of it, is what she does dangerous? Well, yeah, it is. Yeah. And if you and I tried to do it today, we'd hurt ourselves. But that gets me back to the reps and the practice, and this is what she's done. If a world-class surfer in the middle of a surfing competition says, I don't want to go catch the wave because it's dangerous, I'll say, I understand what you're saying. And if you want to go to the car, you can go to the car. But we're still going to say you quit. You quit in the middle of a competition.
Right.
If once we're all done today, if you want to go jake two waves for me and then say you're done, I'll respect you a lot more than if you walk away now. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to compute in this whole story.
Oh, boy. Let's just go to break, because I'm only going to continue to sound more and more like an old man the more that I talk about this.
A bunch of old men.
Back in my day.
Back in my day. I've been contrasting it to Carrie Strug all day in my head. Carrie Strug damn near snapped her leg off, stuck that vault, cried, and helped the team win. And this is in the same competition, I believe. I believe it was the team round where Carrie Strug pulled that off. And then later, of course, she couldn't compete because her damn leg was broken or whatever it was. But this is in Simone Biles on the same apparatus. Simone Biles couldn't figure out a way to just land something, just kind of do something. Give me 60% of you because you're Simone Biles.
See, I heard somebody, gosh, who was it? I heard somebody earlier today compare this to Carrie Strug and saying, well, Simone Biles knows better. She's not going to go the Carrie Strug route and be limping for the rest of her life just to try and win a medal for her team. I'm like, is Carrie Strug limping for the rest of her life?
I don't know.
That's a big stretch there if you don't know for sure.
I don't know that for sure at all. I'm assuming she's not, but even if she is, it's kind of a badge of honor at that point.
Even if she is, she was probably already going to be limping for the rest of the life based on the injury she already suffered. She didn't hurt herself any further.
And she ultimately chose to do it. And in this case, I thought when I first read it, it was injury, but it was indeed the mental side of things for Simone Biles. Let's hope she can get things together as it goes on. She has said, we're going to take it a day at a time and see what happens. I have to focus on my mental health. To say that right in the middle of an Olympics when you just quit during the team competition, I don't know if she's going to be competing again. Let's hope that she does. All right, coming up, where are we at in society? On the tote board, Mike Tomlin, grocery store visits versus Super Bowl visits. What is the count? Trey will let you know on the horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said, boom. I think you better quit, let it slip, or you'll be leaving with a fat lip. It's all about the he said, she said,
hey man, welcome to Woodstock. We're here for peace and love and harmony. Trey, tell them about it.
God. This band sucked back when they were popular, and they definitely suck now. This is Limp Bizkit Break Stuff. And this is an important song in the telling of Woodstock 99, which Garrett Price did an excellent job of in the new HBO Max documentary. Limp Bizkit performed on Saturday night when things were starting to get out of hand. The concert promoters asked him to help mellow things out, and he responded by playing Break Stuff, and the crowd was insane. That was a nuts crowd to watch during that song, and unfortunately, the rest of the weekend, things only got worse. The reason why we're talking about Woodstock 99 is because a new episode of Books on Pod is out now. It is with Garrett Price, who is not only the director of Woodstock 99, he's a Texas alum and a guy that I knew back in the day. Our chat is pretty good and I think a nice representation of what you can find in the documentary. You can listen now at booksonpod.com.
I just had a thought as I was watching the documentary. I've been to a couple of music festivals in my life and I had one general boundary line that I thought might be helpful. I thought, well, if I have to spend the night at the venue, something's wrong, right?
In most cases, I agree. I would maybe consider for like a Bonnaroo or Coachella when you can actually rent a house that's near where the festival is being held.
Right.
But something like that.
Hey, walking distance is different. But I'm saying on the facility, you're telling me what I have to do is camp out?
Yeah, and this is at an Air Force base also, so it's not like there were going to be comfortable places for you to put your tent.
Dude, there's incredible interviews that they get with the musicians from back in the day, with the promoters, and to their credit, a couple of the main promoters do sit there and answer questions. They go through it. They eat whatever they have to eat 30, you know, not 30 years later. Now we're way past 30 years later. But, you know, this many years later from 1999. A lot of good stuff there. Check out the doc. Check out Trey's interview there at booksonpod.com. Texas and Oklahoma officially asked the SEC if they can come party with them. They'll figure it out on Thursday. Maybe they're going to have a meeting on Thursday with the SEC. We have not heard if they're going to actually have the vote at that point.
A&M's Board of Regents will meet one more time tomorrow afternoon to try to figure out their feelings on it, and then we'll see what the vote ends up being. Texas and Oklahoma need it to be 11-3 or better. They just need 11 yes votes. After that, it won't matter. 10 votes won't get them in. 11 votes will. So we'll keep that in mind as we get to where are we at in society. Trey's got a weird count for you. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
Got to give some love to SLP Lawn Care. They were out at my place today. We haven't had to turn the water on all summer, Chad. We've gotten that much rain. Our lawn looks fantastic. This is the greenest that I think I've seen Austin at the end of July.
Yeah, I agree.
In most of the 20-plus years that I've been here now. And thankfully, we are on the schedule for student loan payment lawn care. You can get yourself on the schedule as well. Go to slplawncare.com. All right, Mike Tomlin is a guy who has been with the Steelers for a long time now.
Yes, he has.
Led them to one Super Bowl title.
One title, two appearances.
Two appearances. Yep. And he just said something over the last day or so that is a little bit difficult to believe.
All right.
He was meeting with the media for, I guess, what was his first press conference of training camp. And he made an admission, Chad, that he hasn't been to a grocery store in 10 freaking years.
10 years?
10 years.
Bag of ice, six pack. Some barbecue tongs.
I guess he's going to a convenience store for those things.
Does he consider like a Walmart or a Target a grocery store? Did anybody ask a clarifying question? Does he consider those kind of places grocery stores? Like Target now, that's a grocery store, right?
I think that's close. I think that technically that might count because they do have the grocery section. But Mike Tomlin was talking to Albert Breer this past weekend. And they were talking about the social distancing that we've all become so accustomed to over the last year and a half now. Mm-hmm. And his quote is this, quote, "I live in a bubble anyway, to be honest with you. I haven't been to a grocery store in 10 years.
Wow.
He's got to be embellishing, right?
I would think there hasn't been one time. The wife didn't send you for one thing. You and the kids are out. You and the buddies are out. You just pull up to the... Maybe even if you pull up and let a friend out to go get something at a grocery store, you've technically been to the grocery store at that point. You've been to the parking lot.
Maybe he's been using Instacart for the last few years to where he just pulls to the front of the grocery store. They load his groceries into the back of the car.
Now, I've never done that. So maybe, yeah, if you don't, because that technically you're not going in.
But
so.
Even the biggest anti-grocery store person, there's that one thing that you need to go get at 10 o'clock at night. You know the store is empty. If the problem is the crowd, I totally understand that. I try to avoid grocery stores on weekends like the plague unless it's right when the grocery store opens up.
Yeah.
But everybody has to go to a grocery store at 10 or 11 o'clock at night to get, like what you said, a pack of batteries or some tongs or some mustard or pickles or something else.
Nobody's ever needed, like, you know, toothpaste or, I don't know, you know, matches. So nothing, just little stuff. By the way, if you go to Walmart, do you consider that a grocery store? Go to a big super Walmart, like half the store is a grocery store.
I mean, yeah, that's a grocery store now.
That's what I think so, too. When I go in there, that's what I'm thinking. I got to go to the grocery store.
I think Mike Tomlin's probably more of a Target guy than a Walmart guy.
I love when I find out things about people, though, that have that weird thing. Like, we have the promo, Rod Babers has never tried vanilla ice cream. I love that stuff.
There is no way that's true.
It is so bizarre.
I love Rod. There is no – even if he's blocked it out of his memory, at some point as a kid, he had to have tried vanilla ice cream.
Years ago, when Alex Loeb admitted in this room that he was an adult that didn't know how to ride a bicycle, and the fans have never let him forget it. Like, I love those things. But my favorite one, I think, to this day of a famous person is still the Mel Kiper from back in the day. I don't know if he still does it. But when he told Colin Cowherd years ago, "I've never written a check, ever." And he said every day he would eat an entire pumpkin pie. I just thought that was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, I hope he still does. I hope with that hair, Kiper is still working a pumpkin pie every day.
The funny thing about the check writing deal is that some Gen Zer is going to hear that now and be like, so what's the big deal with that?
Now it's no big deal.
Yeah,
when I heard it, it was big. And now if you ask me, hey, Chaz, when's the last time you wrote a check? I can't remember.
Mm.
Can't come up with it.
Do you have that one thing? Maybe that's something we can ask the people as well. What's that one strange thing that you just never partaken in?
One thing I've never... Does a movie count or something like that? Like a movie the whole world has seen?
Yeah, that's probably
seen?
The closest that I come is like never having seen Titanic.
Right, and for me it's Grease.
That's what I was considered a standard kind of movie I've just never seen. I've never seen Grease. I've never seen Schindler's List. There's a list of movies that I've never seen.
I've never seen Schindler's List either.
But I'm trying to think if it's an activity. I can't think of one right off the top of my
head. Have you ever hula hooped?
I've attempted it. I'm horrible at it. My hips don't work that way. My hips do not lie, nor do they move well. I've tried it, but never really done it. And I've roller skated, and I've done those things, but I can't think of something that's just super, super basic or ordinary that I've not done.
I've never watched porn before.
Really? That's where we're going to go? You're just going to flat lie to the people? That's what it is?
It's not my thing.
You've never watched actual, like, hardcore pornography?
Right.
The by definition...
I've never gone to... Porn tube or whatever the heck it's called that the kids are talking about.
You didn't watch a VHS back in the day. You never thumbed through a Playboy?
I said watched porn, so I've thumbed through Playboys before.
What do you consider that? That's not watching porn.
Looked at.
That's looking at porn.
Watching involves a video element.
Oh, you've never watched. Hold on. You're telling me you've never viewed an image of a person or multiple people engaged in a sexual act ever? You've only seen it still in a photo, other than in a movie when they're depicting it, but that may not actually be doing it. You've seen movies obviously with sex stuff in it.
I feel like I saw some imagery of Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson, but that it was blurred out and it was just like a clip of that.
So you don't feel like you've watched that?
No, because my sexual prowess doesn't work like that. I have to get inside my own head for things to work.
I like that you labeled it as sexual prowess. I don't know that what I got going on I would consider prowess. I don't think that's a word I would use.
What do you consider it?
I don't know. Sexual inventory? Stuff? Items?
Oh, man.
Mechanisms.
You know what we're not going to be asking Bobby Burton about?
That.
Sexual prowess.
No, we're not, because then he'll never come back on the show. Up next, it's Bobby Burton of Inside Texas. What does he think about the Longhorns and the Sooners heading to the SEC? All that needs to happen now is for the SEC to vote. We'll talk to Bobby about it on the Horn.